So we don't really have a sermon this evening, so relax. But the well, not too much, but we have a short homily. But first, let me just comment on the Matthew scripture in particular. I mean, this is where Jesus cautions us against performing so-called acts of righteousness, like prayer and fasting and charity. Cautions against doing it publicly just to earn human praise, human recognition. Just think about it like an idea of a seed that grows in the ground in darkness, and all what's going on happens in secret, out of the way, so to speak. You know, in God's eyes. Jesus here emphasizes that true security and purpose are found not in accumulating all these various fleeting earthly signs of wealth and security, but in cultivating true treasures in heaven through a heart that's genuinely devoted to God. And this, of course, applies to us individually as we go through Lent, but also as a community of faith gathered in Christ's name here in this location, about the authentic aspects of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, the authentic aspects of what it means to be a community of Christ gathered here. So when we think about the homily title here, as it should be in the bulletin, is The Soil Under Our Feet. The Soil Under Our Feet. When we think about the soil that's under our feet, for most of human history, most people that ever lived, ultimately lived, grew up, had families, worked, and died, all within just a relatively close distance, all within just a few miles. Some of the hunter-gatherers may have wandered around longer, but every day they didn't really travel very far at all. There was a profound connection to the land, especially after the agricultural age. I mean, people were then anchored to a very specific place, to a very specific soil. This notion of a connection to place is epitomized for me if you look at the Navajo practice, where every time a baby's born, they take the placenta and they bury it in the ground. They bury it in the ground, the ancient ground. And so the child is always connected to the ancestral soil. That's a permanent physical representation of a spiritual anchor to the sacred land and the sacred place. When I think of where I grew up, an industrial town in England, during my grandma's kind of era, she was born in 1907, there were cotton mills literally all over the place. And most of the workers would live in those small row houses near the factories. And they would all walk to work. And if you look at the census, you'll see all the houses. It'll be weaver, 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 spinner, spinner, weaver, weaver, tattler, what have you. So even as late as that, people just lived a few miles. Most of life happened in a few miles. Because by the time I hit the workplace, it was not unheard of for people to ride a train 2 hours into London every day. And they'd work for 2 hours. In those days, there was no such thing as internet or cell phones that hadn't been invented yet. So you could actually get some work done on a train and then get into the office, work for about 4 hours, turn around, come home. And that was far more affordable than moving to London. That was normal. So suddenly we start traveling vast distances. When I moved over here, when I lived in Dallas, a car would come and pick me up in the morning, take me to the airport. I get on a plane, a flight to somewhere. Somebody will meet me at the airport, take me to a meeting. We basically argue for about 3 hours. I get back to the airport, get on the plane, come back. Car drops me off, and then I go to bed. I mean, suddenly we start going for miles and miles and miles, and this idea of connection to a place and to a community seems to be less and less and less. And today, you know, through more and more people working at home, we don't even have the connection to people. So we often spend time where we're socially isolated and separate from not only people, but also from a physical place. We suffer from a dislocation, a physical dislocation from a sense of place, sometimes a spiritual dislocation from the idea of a sacred place. We lack a psychological rootedness, a rootedness to a given community. And look how this is beginning to show up now in the health of our communities and the health of our societies. Well, in matters of church, the idea of a theology of place is where we begin to realize that the relationship between God and humanity often involves very specific places. It asserts that geography is not neutral or accidental as a kind of just a random backdrop for life, but it's the primary vehicle in which God reveals himself to us and the way in which he mediates grace. At its core, a theology of place rejects the idea that the spiritual is separate from the physical. Instead, it argues that because God created the world and became flesh in a very specific town, of course Bethlehem, at a very specific time, well then locations themselves can be sacred. By sacred I mean simply set apart. So the idea of church, the notion of ecclesia, church being people, is a people tied to a very specific place, not a specific building as such. So the church was co-located within a community. The medieval model, back where I'm from, assumed that your spiritual life, that your physical life, all happened in the same soil. You were born, baptized, married, buried within about a 3-mile circle. And we came up then with the parish model. You didn't have to walk very far in England to find multiple churches and about 4 times that many pubs. But in our time, church has become a place that we go to. Just like we go to work, we go to school, we go to get our shopping, we also go to church. So think about that for a second. This mindset of going to church is sometimes gets in the way of being church. The idea of going to church, as we do in our society, is completely alien to the early church. Many churches like ours that are blessed to have been around for so many years have experienced all sorts of changes and shifts in social demographics over the decades, and in our case, over the centuries. In fact, many churches of our size, there's virtually nobody who lives in the neighborhood anymore where the church was planted. As far as the neighborhood is concerned, the building is like some kind of foreign outpost. For members of the congregation, we maintain our connection with each other, but we lose the connection to the sacred dust of our location. So this is where the idea of relocalizing comes in the context of a congregation established here in 1857, the specific dust of our street corner is not accidental. It is a sacred particularity where the universal Christ chooses to become local. By embracing a theology of place, the church stops looking for God in the abstract and begins to find him in the humble, gritty reality of the neighborhood where we are called to remain, to endure, and ultimately to rise. So in a few moments, you will receive the sign of ashes. We often hear the words, "Remember that you are dust," at a funeral. But today we hear them as a homecoming. To be dust is to be made out of the same matter as the ground beneath our feet. The place where you live is actually written in your bones. It's really interesting that when archaeologists find an ancient skeleton, you can literally find out where that person was born and raised based on the strontium isotope analysis of the teeth, tooth enamel, and looking at the bones, the same thing will tell you where they were living for the last 10 or 15 years. Literally, the place that you live is written into your bones. By marking our foreheads with ashes, we are also claiming our 1857 location as holy ground. We are admitting that we are rooted here. We are not just occasional visitors. We are the humble, the earthy presence of Christ in this specific community. So we begin then this pilgrimage in the dust, but we do not stay there. The goal of relocalization is to see the resurrection happen right here on this street corner, in this soil. So Lent is the tilling of the garden. We put off our distraction of institution and buildings and all that sort of thing, and we put on the life of neighbor. We break open the hard ground of our hearts so that the life of the risen Christ can sprout from the very floorboards of this sanctuary. So the pilgrimage home is the shortest journey that you will ever take. It is the distance between your head and your heart, between the pew and the pavement. So let us step into the dust together. Let us begin our pilgrimage home. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.